Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Milwaukee's status as a hub of human trafficking and prostitution made headlines last year when an investigative reporter profiled the city's struggles in the UK paper The Guardian. But the city had been grappling with the impact of prostitution long before then.
The effects of prostitution have left visible tolls on some Milwaukee neighborhoods. Now, a special report from the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service has given a voice to some of the victims of Greenfield Avenue, both residents and participants in the illegal activities plaguing the area.
Edgar Mendez is a reporter for the Neighborhood News Service. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers and began by describing the specific neighborhoods he looked at for this special report.
The main hub of activity is between 26th Street and 16th Street, but the problem extends all the way to probably to 6th and Greenfield in smaller pockets.
And what neighborhoods does that encompass?
Well, it's on the near south side of Milwaukee, and it would encompass Walker's Point, Clark Square, generally. Oh, and Chavez Drive, that area, 16th Street.
I've been fortunate enough to really not live in areas that have a lot of human trafficking. And so in reading your piece, my mind is drawn to these like kind of images you see on television or movies, you know, these almost comical depictions of men and women in flamboyant clothes hanging around on the sidewalks. But what's the reality? What does, you know, you call it a hub of activity. What does that mean when we look at these areas?
It generally means that when you're driving down Greenfield Avenue, you'll see girls, which I'm assuming to be working as prostitutes or women, I should say, and very often they're living on the streets. Maybe during the summertime they, you know, would be wearing something skimpier to maybe draw the attention from men. But I think the most telltale sign that a woman is working on the street is that they will try to, you know, flag cars down or, you know, you'll see guys pulling up next to them and, you know, them getting in the car or them waving them around the corner. It's pretty obvious, I mean, I'd say.
Okay.
Greenfield Avenue is a busy street. It generally has a lot of traffic. And there's also a lot of foot traffic. But I guess another way to tell is you'll see the same people standing on the street corners more often than not, especially I live in that neighborhood, so you end up seeing the same people standing on the corners and a lot of times surrounded by men, sometimes walking in groups, sometimes walking alone. But I guess it's just 1 minute you see them, 1 minute you don't, and then a little bit later you see them again. And not to generalize, but a lot of times you can see it in the face because a lot of them their faces are worn. They look exhausted. They look like they might be dealing with substance abuse issues, things like that.
As someone who lives in the area, how familiar were you with this issue before you started into this special report?
I was very familiar. I've always lived on the south side and generally in the area around Greenfield. But in the past, I'd lived around Lincoln Avenue, which is another hub. But the Greenfield area, I've probably been living in for about 6 years and have always noticed that there was an issue on the street. But more so, it seemed like in the last 2 years, it just exploded in terms of the number of activity I would see on the street, open air prostitution. But more so, the number of people that you see openly abusing drugs, under the influence of drugs, passed out on the street, hallucinating sometimes on the street. It's just even finding things like condoms in front of your house, on the sidewalk, needles. So I really came up with the idea to write this story before summer even started because it seemed like things were really picking up and saw that when Alderman Donovan called a public safety committee hearing on the issue. I think that was in September. I had already had plans to work on this story. And when I saw the news coverage of that, I noticed that it wasn't nuanced enough. It didn't tell the whole story. And when I mean the whole story, it really didn't get at the root of the problem and talk about what these women, the victims, are actually going through.
As someone who lives in the area, what is it like going home at night? You know, in your piece, you talk to a number of women who have had big issues with being harassed on the street. You talk about children who are being exposed at a very young age to some very serious things. What is it like for you?
Well, I also have a family and young children, and personally can think of a couple instances where my daughter, she's 4 years old, where she was confused at seeing someone on the street and, you know, obviously under the influence, and asking what was wrong with that person. And I mean, what can you say? You just say that they're sick. I mean, with kids, their level of comprehension is not that high. So I think they're just kind of confused by it. I don't think that they notice any of the activity, but I know they definitely notice when somebody is under the influence. I mean, I guess I'll just say that it's not something new. This is an issue that's been going on for as long as I can remember. I think that, like I said, it just seems to be an increase in activity.
You live with your partner in the area. Has she had any of the same issues that you talk about in your story?
Oh, well, she generally doesn't walk around that neighborhood. But, I mean, I've heard from other residents about the issues that they've had walking around the neighborhood and being mistaken for prostitutes, not only by police, but by men who are driving around looking to solicit prostitutes, or by men that are cruising around looking for women.
One of the women in the piece talks about essentially being stalked by several people who mistook her for someone who was prostituting themselves.
Right, and I think that's pretty common.
I mean, it's very frightening. How did the police respond to this?
Well, the police are limited in their ability to respond in terms of they have to actually see a crime being committed to arrest someone. So, that, I mean, it's hard to reach that burden of proof, for one. But more importantly, I think that the police understand that arresting someone who might not even be there by their own choice is not a solution.
So there was a public safety meeting in September. We had Alderman Donovan, who is sort of on one side of the issue, and the police were really on the other side. What are the two sides of sort of solving this problem?
Well, I think that even Alderman Donovan understands that it's going to take a community response, so a multi-pronged effort that involves organizations that work with women who are being sex trafficked, and also maybe faith leaders, law enforcement. The community, of course, has a role to play in this. But I think it's going to take a community-wide effort to deal with this issue, because it's so huge. It's just a big problem.
When the police are called about someone finding condoms in their yard, someone being stalked down the street, what is the general response?
Well, I can't speak to every call, but I don't really think that anyone calls the police to report that they are finding paraphernalia. Maybe they do. Like I said, the police are very limited. Police already understand this is going on. If everyone in the community sees it, I'm sure the police see it. It's a heavily policed area, but I mean, even saturating it more with police is not the problem. After the public hearing in September, the police became even more active on the street. And according to Deanne Lawson, who's the executive director of the Inner Beauty Center, it just pushed women to the other hubs, Lincoln and National, into the side streets, and even online into sites like Backpage.com. Mm.
So when there is more of a police presence, it gets rid of it, at least in the area, but it's not really addressing the problem.
It just pushes it to other neighborhoods and pushes it deeper underground, and it's a crime that drives in the underground, so it's not solving the problem at all.
So you spoke to several advocates of sexually exploited women who talk about the fact that the facilities that are offering them help, many of them are closing down. They aren't getting this kind of funding. When we had the public safety meeting, was that something that came up?
I think that it came up that there was not enough resources available right now to help the women. Jean Geraci, who's the executive director of the Benedict Center, mentioned the fact that there weren't enough residential facilities, so places that can take these women in and offer them a safe place to stay, a home, and then allow the organization to help them build up their life from there. Jean Gerasi mentioned to me that the first thing that these women need is stable housing. And then after that, they can work to build up the other areas in which they need help.
Is that something the Common Council has shown interest in? Is that something the city has shown interest in, trying to invest more money into programs like these?
Well, I couldn't say that for sure. I know that organizations like the Benedict Center, they've raised $500,000 to open a drop-in center on the south side to combat the problems, the issues that are going on in Greenfield Avenue and other locations, which is enough to sustain for a few years and serve women. But they need more funds, definitely, to run a long time. And as far as the Inner Beauty Center is concerned, it's completely volunteer staff. So they definitely need resources to open up more than just Tuesday. And there are other organizations that are working with victims of human trafficking, UMOS, the Maida House, Sojourner House. But there's definitely a need for increases in residential treatment facilities, treatment services in general. There's a huge need for that in Milwaukee.
And it seems like, at least according to the people who you spoke to, it seems like that's sort of an integral part of the solution, figuring out how to help the women who are being exploited.
Right. And until that's done, and like I said, it has to be done on multiple fronts. It's going to continue to be a huge problem in Milwaukee.
So there's been a lot of talk, obviously, in the community about the issue of prostitution, both how it's affecting families, but also how it's affecting the women who are being exploited. You know, what do they want to see happen to the women who are in these areas?
Well, the Southside Organizing Committee did some polling in the core area, which was around South 18th and Greenfield Avenue, about what residents felt should be done, and 70% of those polled favored diversion programs over incarceration for women. So I think the community in general, although there are many people upset about the activity, I think that the community does understand that these women are victims, and most of them not there by choice, and would rather see them get the help they need than see them in jail.
Edgar Mendez is a reporter for the online Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. You can read his full report, The Victims of Greenfield Avenue, at WUWM.com.